The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back. You're rejoining We the People Radio. We've changed our program today.
Experiencing some program difficulties.
Well, just some program
rescheduling.
Yeah, whatever.
Reconnoitering.
So anyway, Mr. Hyde, who is on the website for today, actually was in London, apparently, and got sick. So he came home, he was sick, sent us a text message right before the program that I didn't get until we were actually already on the air, that he wasn't going to be on with us. So anyway, the original promise, like he's going to come on later, yeah, that was a lie. look, I didn't burst into flames or anything. See, if Hillary would just say it, nothing would happen.
That's right.
I'm proof positive. You can say a lie and nothing will happen. Well, and
at this point, what difference does it make?
Right on cue. you're so predictable.
Yeah, well.
So anyway.
Here, another one.
So we shifted gears and we decided to do an update on VA, which is actually good because there was a bunch of stuff going on with those guys. And first hour, we talked a little bit about Allison Hickey, the undersecretary. And seriously, if you have not read her little parting letter to the employees at the VA, you really ought to. I will put it on the website, actually. It'll be on here shortly. And Oakland, our favorite location, mm-hmm. Veterans Benefits Administration location.
Our favorite kickball.
We have Rusty Ann Brown with us, who worked there from 2009 until 2014 and was involved in the, should we call it a scandal, Rusty? It's a scandal, right?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's still a scandal.
But scandal just sounds so trite. Like,
It's worse than that.
Yeah. You know, when you take over 13,000 claims and hide them for 20 years, interestingly enough, I spoke with someone in Oakland, whatever day it was, Wednesday or Thursday, and that lady had told me that she saw a claim from 1988.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
1988.
Wow.
So if you're a veteran out there and you sent the VA a letter at some point in time requesting benefits, and you didn't hear back from them.
It's only been 27 years.
And you are still...
You might want to follow that up
still
with a phone
kicking.
Call.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, it's hard to follow up because a lot of these folders are even being, I believe, are being hid. So if they're not, if the information's not going to the scan site and being scanned in so that everybody can see it in the system, how are they going to prove that the veteran filed a claim back in 1980, whatever?
Well,
it's really going to be dependent on that employee.
Well, the picture that that I have that I'll be posting, I've got to do all this right now, but the picture that I have is it looked like about 150 maybe different claims, and they were labeled informal claims, and I think you had told me that they were going to be going to storage or...
Well, they were trying to send, from what I've been told, they were trying to send them back to the storage facility in San Bruno, which essentially means that it wouldn't go to the scan site and it wouldn't be in the system and they would just be hid. Okay. Now, my understanding also is that San Bruno has been told not to accept any new folders, so now they're just sitting there in Oakland and Oakland's trying to figure out what to do with them. Well, why don't you send them to the scan site so they can go be scanned and be put into the system so that maybe some really good employee can look at that veteran's file and actually see what happened?
Yeah. So, yeah, because otherwise, without the paper file, no one will know.
Exactly. Yeah, things seem to disappear a lot of time. A lot. Okay, so you have to hope that the veteran that comes in actually gets a hold of a good employee and that record has actually not been jeopardized. There's so many records that, you know, in Oakland and their data integrity is just a joke. There is no data integrity. If there was, you wouldn't have stuff like this happening. You wouldn't have them continually finding old claims. Okay? If you find a piece of paper, you get it into the scan site, you get it scanned so that it's there permanently, period. So even if you can't work it, somebody down the road is going to be able to work it. Okay? But when you just hide stuff, nothing can happen.
How do you...
Well, wasn't there a point not too awful long ago that they were actually... Well, they claimed they had gone over and a lot of the claims were not actionable, so they were shredding them?
I don't have any knowledge of them shredding any documents in Oakland. That's not to say that didn't happen. Now, what did happen a few months ago, I believe it was around April or May... they found approximately 250 old claims in the shred room in Sacramento. So somebody had put them there as if they were about to be shredded. And from what I was told, those claims got found by a somewhat decent employee that said, wait a minute, you can't shred these. Sent them back to Oakland. And Oakland had to work them, but once again, they did it under lock and key. They did it under wraps.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't do it in full exposure. They didn't even acknowledge that it happened. They wouldn't even acknowledge, and yet there were multiple employees that had firsthand knowledge that it happened. Okay. Just like the 1,300 they found back in, I believe it was February. Those 1,300, again, another 1,300 old informal claims. Where are they finding this?
Exactly.
Stuff?
What are they doing? I mean, are they just finding a cubbyhole someplace where they can stash some papers? And when
they did that for years. Listen, for years in Oakland, they literally had carts that they moved around. Literally.
Unbelievable.
Now we're in this digital age, and I think that they're coming to this quandary of, okay, do we send everything to the scan site and make everything visible? Oh my gosh, if we do that, they're going to know what we got.
Well, it makes you wonder.
Back on this stuff.
Well, it also makes you wonder if they found these claims in the shred room, were those the ones that they just didn't have time to complete and maybe a bunch more got shredded prior to that? Or,
exactly.
you know, what else was in there that got shredded?
Exactly.
I mean, that sounds like a terrible flaw in their system when something that's actionable or something that needs to be saved ends up in a shredding room.
Well,
exactly. But now you look at thousands of claims that were in this 13,000, thousands of veterans that were affected, and yet you've got no one in Oakland that's ever been held accountable, even though it's all been substantiated. Not one person has been held accountable.
It was interesting because someone brought up last week that the two managers who have been there throughout that whole thing are Rachel Pennington and Michelle Kwok.
Yes.
They've been there since all of this started, and they're the only two managers that have been there through the whole thing. Is that right?
Well, they're the only two in upper management. Okay, you still have plenty of managers, coaches. Okay, right below the service center manager, you know those guys. You got plenty of those guys that knew about it.
And yet nothing. They never get sent. I mean, they never get sent packing. Obviously,
no, nothing ever. You know, there were so many rumors at once. You know, when you have a coach who will literally put his hands on a U.S. congressman and throw him out of the VA, okay, and never get anything. Well, we did hear rumors that employee did have some type of reaction against him, but once again, it was not known to the public. So the employees think, oh, he's on vacation, when in fact, he very possibly was suspended for a week or two.
Yeah.
And yet they won't let that go out in public because it ruins their image. That person shouldn't even be there anymore.
Tell the story for folks that don't know, because that was a while ago we talked about that.
About the 13,000?
No, about the congressman getting exited.
Well,
lack of a better description.
Congressman LaMoffa came up to the regional office, and, you know, we didn't get him through with our credentials. You know, he's a U.S. congressman. We did wait for him as he came through security. We took him up to the 17th floor, straight to the director's office, which is mandated in our, as an employee, I would have to do that. He had a nice little talk with the staff, with the management, came downstairs and then asked to have a look around. And we had another employee who was walking him around and giving him a look at the facility. He actually came into my work area, and which was probably one of the most hot areas because this is where all the problems had stemmed from those 13,000 claims. But the congressman came through and wanted to talk to the supervisor, and he was very disrespected. It was unbelievable that a coach could essentially call a congressman a liar in front of lots of employees, okay? Mm. As the congressman is sitting there with his elbow on the cart that has the informal claims on it, which was priceless. I mean, it was a moment that, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? And yet they would literally then walk him to the door and hold him and take him outside, literally take him from the building. Okay.
Wow.
So,
well, they were,
this is the depth.
They were mad, right? They were mad that he had kind of slipped the noose, I guess, as it were.
Well, they were getting found out. That was the problem. It, you know, everything wasn't as quiet and as safe as they had had it. You know, you had, you know, I think my husband said for once in my life he finally figured out what my big mouth was for. Okay.
Nice.
This is it. This was what it was for. Okay. It was just to, you know, it's not right. It wasn't right what they did. It's not right what they continue to do. And, you know, once again, you go back to Allison Hickey. I can remember a budget hearing that she was in back in, I believe it was March. It was right after my CBS interview in February, where she ridiculed me and laughed about that Oakland employee. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Those were just copies of claims. We proved that those were actual claims. She knew they were actual claims. She knew at that moment when she said that, that those were actual claims. So what does that make her?
I do believe we discussed that earlier. That would be a liar.
Complicit in a
giant
crime.
A giant liar. And not very good at it either, because she didn't even, I mean, everyone knows if you're going to tell a lie, tell the same one. You know, I mean,
exactly.
If you get asked about it again. But they all came up with different lies on that whole story. So did the Western area
constantly.
Manager, Mr. Willie Clark, who now works in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And as did Juliana Bohr, the current director of Oakland, and Michelle Kwok.
Who just retired? Somebody just retired out.
Not out of Oakland.
No, out of, I think, Philly, was it?
Well, no, they all just switched chairs. That was just that was just your basic chair switching.
Oh, then they can't find them.
The upper
I don't look
goes,
the same.
I want that job.
I can't believe you're confused about where these people are. I mean, how do you get confused there? It is. You almost need a playbook.
They should just save a lot of time and money and just change clothes.
I need a little flow
swap
chart.
Clothes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm madly updating the website while we're talking here. I'm going to put that. I'm going to put. You're probably going to have to refresh your screen if you're listening to this live on Sunday. Good deal, Philadelphia. By the time you get this show, it'll all be set. You don't have to scramble. It's only the Sunday people that have to scramble a little bit. But I'm going to put that picture up there of the 150 claims, just so people can see what kind of volume you're talking about and how much effort it would take to actually hide that. You know? It would just be so much easier to just process the darn stuff. Anyway, we're going to come right back. We are chatting with Rusty Ann Brown, our good friend from the Oakland, former Oakland VA employee, who has been really instrumental in unraveling their little world, I guess for lack of a better description. And we like that. So anyway, be right back with you. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
give a damn for shit. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody takes and takes. Take my love.
Everybody makes mistakes. That's it. It's just a mistake.
Just a mistake.
13,184
times.
Mistakes,
yeah,
that they keep making.
Little thing.
So I finally did load the picture. If people have to go back to today's page, I just switched the whole thing around. But on there is a picture of that, and you see some of them that are rubber banded together. As people look at those files, just so you kind of know what you're looking at. The they call them volumes. Each of those folders is a volume, and some of these people have multiple volumes.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't. Some of this stuff might be in the computer, isn't that?
My understanding is that those folders came from San Bruno directly.
Oh, they were all sitting in there just like this.
Yes. So they were in San Bruno. They came to Oakland for them to work a piece of paper that they had found, supposedly another old informal. Okay, and thus the sign on the. The files up there at the top of the picture says informal project. So what they were doing is they pulled these old folders out of storage at San Bruno. They did what they were supposed to do. Whether it was accurate or the right thing, I don't know. But they did something. And now the folders are sitting there because they can't send them back to San Bruno. And they're not in a hurry to send them to the scan site. And that's one of the questions. Why aren't these folders going straight to the scam site? Why are they sitting there just kind of hanging out?
Yeah, why are they?
You know, if that veteran calls, if any one of those veterans calls, and he's got an issue going on with his claim, they don't have a record. They don't have anything scanned into the system, and they don't have a physical record in hand.
Well, I gotta wonder too, if they can't file a paper file in a cabinet in the right place where it can get processed, what chance is there that when they scan this stuff that it gets filed in a fashion that will ever be retrievable? Because if they scan,
that was another fear of a lot of the employees was, can we really trust when it leaves here and goes to the scan site? There was a lot of records, I can tell you very honestly, there were lots of records that were lost from the Oakland Regional Office before they ever got to the scan site. Lost,
yeah. What's that mean?
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, where do they go?
You know, and so, once again, now you've got, a group of veterans that are basically SOL because they've got no records.
Ugh. And that's those are the people who get the letter that says, could you please send this to us again, which makes people crazy, by the way.
Right.
I mean, how irritating is that, to keep being asked for the same darn thing over and over again? Hey, so...
Well, now they're going to this national queue, and all these records are supposed to be scanned into a system. And so anybody in the United States can work on any claim within their realm, okay? So you might get an Oakland veteran whose claim is being worked by a Baltimore employee. Okay, and that's what they're supposed to be doing starting up here, I think it was this last week. That's when the system shut down. Okay, so, the accuracy, the records are not getting there. You still got tons of records in storage in San Bruno. All those records should have already made it to the scan site.
And there's a scan site in Janesville, Wisconsin, and there's another one too, though, someplace.
Well, the records of the veterans that are deceased, my understanding, if the veteran is deceased, what they're doing is they're sending those records to National Archives. Okay, now National Archives, my understanding is supposed to be scanning documents also. So what is happening to a lot of these records, the VA can't keep track. They just can't. So then you've got veterans, records are being lost, and they can't get their claim finished because they can't prove anything because there's no record.
Yeah. And that happens quite a bit. So, yeah, you can't substantiate what you're looking for because your medical records and different things, and so in some cases, those are the originals. So there's no...
Exactly.
Everybody always is thinking that the military and whatnot keeps copies of all this stuff. Not so much. So
a lot of times the Vietnam veterans, the only way they can substantiate that they were in boots on ground in Vietnam, a lot of times it's maybe one little stamp in their health record from the corpsman, okay? Because their DD-214 may not say anything about being in Vietnam, and yet they're trying to substantiate that they were in the country, and that's why they have this Agent Orange presumptive condition. They can't prove it because the records are nowhere to be found.
Sure, it says that they were never there, and they can't.
Exactly.
Isn't that great? So we have Horse Creek Mike on the phone. I know he's been having lots of fun with the VA because we just talked about it. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Question. I know this isn't. It isn't germane to the topic today. But,
that's okay. We're just making up our own topic today, so that's cool.
Okay. Well, Rusty is in, and I thank you for your service, Rusty.
Thank you.
I understand you are in the claims division, but this push to digitize all the records, does that also happen over in the VA care facilities? Also, is that happening?
You know, honestly, I can't speak about VHA because VHA is so separate from VBA, so disconnected, that we usually most of the time didn't have any idea what they were doing.
I don't think they do either.
And that's the sad part. There was no system integrated that, you know, you could talk back and forth and incorporate records. You know, they had one little where we could go in and look at medical records when we were working the claims. But other than that, that was it. There was nothing in between the hospitals and the benefits areas at all.
So veterans health care and veterans benefits are operating in two totally different orbits.
Totally. Planets. Hmm. Totally different. Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe since they'd pushed to digitize your section. And, of course, the one thing I kind of look at, if there's no paper record, taking it out of the digital record is just a matter of hitting the delete button.
Correct.
You don't even have to physically take it to the shredder.
That's a scary, frankly.
Correct.
Well, that's why they need to have multiple locations. I mean, a scanned document takes no physical space at all. And so you can take a digital record and you can have it on multiple systems so that they don't have a mysterious fire like they did once before and all these
right.
records are lost forever. You know, so there is some benefits of scanning it, but the problem with scanning is it has to be scanned in a fashion that it can be easily found, because if you file it under the wrong name, end up in somebody else's jacket, where a paper file might someday be found. In a scanned copy, it's never going to be found.
Well, anybody who's ever scanned anything into a computer knows that.
Oh, what did I do with it? Where did I file it? You know, it's gone forever.
Well, and this is, I guess I was the smarter one of the batch that when I left the service, I went in and I took everything that they were going to just disappear. I took my training records, I took my service record, I took my health records. Now the health records, they said, oh, we got to send these back to wherever. I said, then make me a copy, you know.
Right.
And I said, well, we can't take a copy of everything. And I said, well, then you give me back my shot record that I gave you when I entered and is still there. And I said, I want pictures of all of this, 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 and this. And so I left the service with a file, you know, basically saying where I'd been stationed, what I'd been trained to do, and what major medical procedures had been done to me when I was in, and what immunizations I'd been given, including prior to what I'd gone into the service. Because being a service brat, I've got a shot record that is 30 feet long.
right.
But, yeah. Anyway, okay, thank you very much, Rusty. And I do appreciate your service and blowing the whistle and all the all the horrible things they've done to you. I mean, I don't appreciate them doing it to you, but I appreciate you standing up and still staying with it.
Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. Greatly.
Mike.
All right. Thank y'all.
Thanks,
welcome.
Mike. Yeah, Mike gets to meet lots of the veterans in the district that are served out of the Oakland office, and he gets to hear all the stories, you know, people waiting and waiting and waiting. And it just doesn't have – I mean, honestly, do you think it has to be that hard?
No. There's so many things in day-to-day at the VA that could be taken care of with just minimal effort. But once again, it goes back to there being almost a culture in upper management of what can we do to skirt the numbers? What can we do to make it look better than it is? So until they fix that, that's the problem right now. Until they fix the culture within the VA and get rid of the dirty man. And I'm not saying let these, you know, you got managers in Oakland that are going to walk out and retire with nice little benefits when they knowingly held benefits back from veterans. Knowingly. How can they do that? And that's what's driving me a little crazy, I think, these days, is that nobody really is being held accountable. And there's a lot of things that could be done. A lot of things that could be. Common sense? Oh, my gosh.
What's that?
A little common sense.
Yep.
Well, and there's... Everybody always thinks it's the union, you know, and it's the rank and file folks that are part of the union. But geez, if you want to blow the whistle and make things better, the union crushes you as bad as management.
Oh, the union in Oakland was terrible when I was there. Matter of fact, the union would circumvent the employee and go to management. I had the union president go to management and say, no, you need to demote her. You need to make her back to a claims assistant. After she had been told she had no involvement in my case at all. None.
Wow.
So there are people, the few people that have been good within the union there in Oakland have been pushed out recently because they're not playing the game. So you can't fight, it's hard to fight the VA and the union at the same time and still try to survive.
Well, and the bottom line is you're there to do a job, you know, and when you're so wrapped up in, you know, trying to do the right thing and having to fight all these people, you can't do your job. You can't really help anybody, and that's the shame of the whole thing.
Oh, no. It was a struggle daily in that place, and, you know, I still keep in contact. I still have veterans that I still keep in contact with that I met through the VA, just met them on the phone, hooked them up, you know, gave just simple things, very simple things that anybody could have done, but nobody wanted to take the time. And it wasn't anything special. That's what drives me crazy. You could, you know, if you give a veteran your phone number and you say, okay, if you've got a question, give me a call, we'll clear it up. But they won't let them do that.
Yeah, that's too easy.
The easy things they overcomplicate because they don't want them fixed.
Yeah. And you know when you're dealing with that, I just can't imagine the stress level in a work environment like that. It's just from the minute you walk in, it's got to be just like a weight just comes over you until you leave the building.
It's a pressure.
There were a lot of days that, and unfortunately, you know, also dealing with my own PTSD. There were a lot of days that the guilt over what we were doing to these veterans became overwhelming.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I mean, I would literally hide in the bathroom for half an hour crying, okay, or literally have to, you know, go outside or go to the bathroom throwing up because what were we doing here with somebody that was hurt so drastically, and they were minimizing and marginalizing and just put them over here and don't worry about it. No!
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no kidding. And then you're supposed to be able to just walk out the door and just forget about it all and have a...
And disconnect.
And disconnect.
Yeah.
You can't. No, you can't.
I used to come home and my husband would say, baby, please. You know, it was every night.
Make it
every night I was crying. Every night it was a story about what had happened that day. And now the guy is, of course, he's my biggest supporter. He's, you know, go Big Mouth, go, you know. you know, he's the greatest thing, but, it was really hard to watch all these other employees too, who were disabled vets, who were sitting there being told to take benefits or not allow benefits just because. For no reason, you know. Didn't make any sense.
That's the kicker, is you're asked to basically...
And then you got Allison Hickey and you got Secretary Bob. You know, when he first got his job,
Secretary
I emailed that man. I emailed that man 3 or 4 times. I'm an active employee. Here's what's going on. I provided evidence to a congressman. Come on, dude. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nowhere. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back. And you have another person on the line, Rusty, who either wants to ask you something or tell you something. Not sure which. But he'll be our Halloween caller. His name's Boo. So in honor of Halloween. And we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
If it takes a forever, I will wait for you. For 1,000 summers, I will wait for you. Till you're back, back beside me.
Can't think of a better theme song for the claims process. Unbelievable. So we're here with Rusty Ann Brown, and I have updated the website. Da-da-da-da. It has now been completely shifted. It has nothing to do with Bill Hyde because he is sick, gone. So we found Rusty doing laundry down in Oakland and pressed her into service. Thank goodness.
We scrubbed the website.
We did. So we got it all squared away, and now I've got all my facts in front of me. I should put in there that Rusty is a U.S. Navy veteran. She was a corpsman from 1979 to 1989 and began working in Oakland in September of 2009. And I think I started chatting with you a couple of years ago, huh, Rusty?
Yeah, it's been... I went back to look at all my text messages, and it was... I think April of 2013 that we first started.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
and then we had our little adventure, sleepover there at the at the hearing in Washington D.C.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh yes, party time it was.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. all 4 hospitals and 3 ambulances.
Exactly.
It was a regular riot. We'll have to do that again and actually have fun this time. That would be good.
I will tell you, there was one big benefit from that whole fiasco medically was that the 15 pounds that I wanted to lose, I lost.
Holy cow, no fooling.
For heaven's
sake.
Yeah,
that's not the way to do it. But
And it wasn't walking back and forth up to the apartment on the 4th floor. although we did shed a few pounds doing that. So, yeah, that building needs an elevator bad. Hey, so, Boo, we've got you in the holding pattern. What's up this morning, buddy, or this afternoon? Did we lose him?
Hello.
Hey, there he is.
Hey. Yeah. First of all, I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I can't name them all right now, but they're a great crew. And I had a question for Rusty. She's doing a fantastic job. Thanks for your service, dear.
Thank you.
And a little sidebar here. Our local VA outpatient clinic. I've been through two doctors in the last year. They have since gone on, and they're still alive. They're moving, but I can't get a doctor. And I'm having a problem getting my prescriptions refilled. Now, I don't understand that. I've never had a problem before. Now, they got to be approved by a doctor, and I mean, I don't understand why they can't refill my methamphetamine and cocaine.
Your crack, don't forget your crack.
Totally unreasonable.
Crack. You know? No, seriously, it's like blood pressure.
It really makes me upset.
Oh, it's that black market blood pressure medication?
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally out. I mean, I ordered it 3 weeks ago online, and then I called the prescription line, and I guess they have to go through a doctor. If it's not up to date, they got to refill it. I understand that. But
right.
Who are they talking to when I can get my meds?
Hmm.
That's kind of interesting. We should probably ring their bell on Monday, eh?
Yeah, I talked to the patient advocate when I was down about 2 weeks ago. I had to go in and get a cortisone shot for my shoulder, and while I was there, I talked to the patient advocate, and he said, well, you have to fill out this form, and blah, 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 and I said, okay, and he says, well, I'll tell you what. He says, this is on a Friday. He said, Tuesday, I'll do it for you. I'll walk it through so you can get a doctor assigned. Well, I haven't heard anything. So
wow.
I was just wondering if anybody knows about what's going on with our local docs. And I'll take my answer off the air. Love you guys.
Happy Halloween. Yeah, that's not good. Sounds like maybe I better call down there on Monday and give an inquiry.
Yeah, I've not heard of many problems with my prescription refills. I've not had any real difficulties, but there's definitely a disconnect for him if they're not refilling medications like blood pressure medication. You know, there's definitely something wrong.
Well, we keep going through doctors here. We've had a little bit of an exodus. When the working conditions are bad and the stress is high, we just had another lady. Physician. She actually is an infectious disease specialist and actually very qualified, and now she's not mm-hmm. working there anymore because it was too stressful. So
right.
Anyway, the management at the healthcare end doesn't seem to be a lot better than the management at the benefits end.
I do know from personal experience, my primary practitioner there at Oakland, this was about a year ago, told me that she was at a meeting there with the other doctors and the administration. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, basically what they were doing is moving appointments around. You know, and there's such a scandal already about wait times and appointments. But what they will do is they'll set an appointment with a veteran, but then they'll call and cancel the appointment and reschedule it for another. So that they're really, the veteran's not getting in 30 days. It might be 90 or 120 because they keep canceling the appointments. Well, this primary physician that I was using, this gal, she literally told me that she told them in the meeting one day that she wasn't going to do that anymore. She couldn't do that anymore. It wasn't right. Okay. Now, I haven't seen that doctor. They changed my primary physician here about 3 months ago. I don't know if she's even still there or not.
Mm.
So the culture, I think, is widespread, whether it's VHA or VBA. I just don't, I think generally there's just not a factor about caring about the veteran themselves, period.
Yeah, and there's no incentive. I mean, I know there are lots of employees who do, obviously. There are tons of people who went to work at the VA on purpose, because they wanted to help veterans and or they are veterans themselves. So there are tons of people, but they, for some reason, don't make it into management. And you can't...
Because
can't
we
just
don't
be
know
a,
how to say yes.
Yeah, it
That's
can't just
why.
Be an accident that none of them ever worked their way over the bar. that you know, that magically the only ones. Well, it's very much a culture of this is the way we're going to do it, and
yes,
we don't really care what the, you know, at the end of the day, what the rule book says.
Correct.
Hence the multitude of claims at the Board of Veterans Appeals that are being reversed.
God, that should be their that should be their biggest department, is the appeals department.
Well, the appeals.
Oh, exactly, because you're talking about claims that are 7, 8, 9 years old, and then
like,
you've got others that are older than that.
And it sounds like most of them that get processed end up going to appeals. I mean, how many of them get processed once and it's like, that's done right, that's good, we're done?
Yeah, do you have any idea what the percentage is of things done right the first time?
No, I have no, you know, personal knowledge, but I don't think that their numbers are good.
That's
I don't
gotta
think
be
that,
a,
even the numbers they put out would be even accurate anyway.
That would be a great statistic to see what percentage of claims get redone and how many times they get redone.
Yeah.
I mean, that would
mean before they get it right?
Before they get it right, yeah.
Well, it's tough because I see tons of them that come back and evidence that was right there. I can think of one right off the top of my head. The guy already has 70% service-connected disability, and he applied for individual unemployability because he shakes so bad from Agent Orange-connected Parkinson's that I can barely write his name. And they wrote right in there in the denial that he could do some kind of a desk job. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to have somebody else sit at the desk and help him write? I don't know. It's just, and what do you do about that? We need to take one last quick break. I guess that's what we need to do about it. It's what they're doing, I suppose, probably, right?
One more break.
We can take one more quick break.
When in doubt, break.
When in doubt, take a break. It's our last one. Take one quick break. We'll be right back with Miss Rusty Ann Brown.
There we go.
Saved our bacon on a Sunday. Love you, Rusty.
Saved me from laundry.
Thank you.
Saved you from having to watch the Raiders.
Oh.
Ready? Break.
We'll be right back. Good one, Bob. Who's that?
Sheryl Crow.
Why didn't we know that? Okay, because we never know. I would lose name that tune. My mom used to love that show. That makes me old, actually, because that show is long gone.
Long gone.
Remember Name That Tune?
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, I can name that in two notes or whatever.
Notes, yeah.
Oh, my mom could totally do it, too.
Yeah, in one note.
She was always all over it. I'm going to post a picture of the puppy. There is a new puppy at our house, and he's living in a little suitcasey thing, you know, those little duffel bags with mesh on them. He's been sitting on the stool through the whole show. Now he's upside down sleeping.
He was almost our guest today.
Yeah, he was right very nearly the guest. But it's kind of funny because apparently radio isn't as stressful as we made it sound today. So anyway. Well, Rusty, we really appreciate you coming on with us and giving us the update. How long has anybody mentioned to you how long they think the Inspector General will be in Oakland?
No idea. I know they were still there on Friday, so
they had some big management meeting, right?
Do what?
Didn't they? And they had some big management meeting at like 3 o'clock or something.
Oh yeah. So, and you know, from what we understand, a list got turned over to OIG from an employee that outlines the 600 or 700 claims that they just finished working on. I believe it was 700, or it may have been the last 1,300 claims, but turned over a list of old informals that the VA was trying to kind of squash.
Well, the inspector general was in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I called the Inspector General's office and asked them to phone a couple people there that had requested a call because their manager wouldn't let them go talk to the Inspector General. And the Inspector General's comment was, "Don't these guys ever learn?"
Oh, wow.
It's like, isn't that your job? Why don't you go explain that? Because they don't listen to us. Amazing, though. But it's great, though. Even with everything happening, there are still people who are willing to pipe up and do the right thing.
Yeah. In spite of
absolutely.
The consequences.
There are some good employees there in Oakland.
Yeah,
there really are.
Absolutely are. And they're just dogged no matter how much crap they get.
And it's really a shame. You know, you get a new employee that goes in there, has all the excitement of a new job and really wanting to do the right thing and help people, and just within days they get crushed and get thrown down in their little box and get to realize what it's really about. It's just wrong.
It's ridiculous.
I think it took me a week to realize it. A week. Rose-colored glasses were gone.
All comes off. Well, it really matters that everybody works together in the systems, the Inspector General, the congressional offices, the people at the VA, and at the end of the day,
OSC.
That's true, the Office of Special Counsel. It's pivotal that the veterans not give up. I mean, I don't think we mention that enough. We joke about this not because it's funny, but because otherwise we'd be shouting obscenities and, the FCC would be all over Carl. But it is one of the choices, though. So we just
But that's what they want us to do.
They want people to give up. And, please don't resubmit that claim. We're just going to deny you anyway. And there are lots of people who feel like it's a wasted effort. But you know what? Not a wasted effort.
Nope.
Because there's a guy right here in Redding, California, who's waited 37 years, finally got it back from the Board of Appeals, that he was right the whole time. Now, it remains to be seen what Oakland does with that, but but he at least has gotten that far, which is pretty monumental, actually. Well, Miss Rusty, we think you're awesome.
Thank you.
It's always good to talk to you. And actually, it's always good to share you with our listeners, because I don't think our folks in Philadelphia have heard from you at all, ever. This is the other half of the hearing from April that your whistleblowers in Philly were talking to. So, Oakland and Philadelphia inexorably linked.
Thanks very much, Rusty.
Thanks a million zillion. I'm sure I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Keep us posted. Have fun with your wash. I know I had fun with mine the other day. All right. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Everything's on there for you. Today's program, guests, and our contact information. We'd love suggestions on shows. Definitely people who will be available, though, when we're supposed to be calling them. Okay, that's all. See you next week.